Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Or did I have to explain that?
Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
Welcome to Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny Show. Thank you so much for joining us today. Joining me in the closet today is Stephen Rue. I don't know what he's doing. What's going on? CJ Gibson.
What's up?
And Brian Malkowitz. C-Team.
C-Team.
They do the
C-Team.
C-Team thing.
There it is. There it is. Dude, you're throwing me off. You said my name for like 3 years second, and I'm like,
You're sitting in it.
I have a very important announcement before the show begins.
Oh, great.
It's Destin's birthday.
That's right. For a few more hours, if you're listening on Friday only, it's my birthday.
How old are you now, Destin?
Old enough to know better.
There it is.
How about that?
Yeah. Happy birthday, Destin.
Thank you.
That's right. We all love you.
Thanks. On this week's episode, we're going to talk about whether or not we love Arc Week, which is coming right around the corner. We're going to talk about the latest story lore beat. Stephen will give us a lore breakdown of how impactful or not impactful it was.
Don't mess it up, Stephen.
And I don't know, we'll just wing it. We'll talk about the general updates. There's some sandbox updates on the TWAB here. One nice thing about being in this location is that we have access to the internet on this laptop, and I can just have the TWAB up.
We had internet in
right
here
too.
No internet.
Nah.
There's Wi-Fi in there.
Couldn't do it in the studio. Yeah. Impossible. Anyway, yeah. So Arc Week was announced. Basically, Arc is getting powered up for everybody. You're going to be able to get the Thunderlord again. You're going to be able to mess around with the new subclass trees, and there's some really, really interesting stuff going on. If you look at the Bungie Twitter account, they actually have one of the Warlock Arcanades being thrown out, and it just keeps
chaining
to different Thrall, and it's actually really, really cool. It kind of has me a little bit more excited about Arc Week than I thought I was going to be. Initially, I wasn't that hyped for it. Brian, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling good about the super changes. Mm-hmm. They didn't say that these changes are only for this week, right?
Like they're staying.
Arc Week is cool based on all these changes, but I mean, like, we spent a lot of time when they announced Arc Week would be a thing back with the roadmap. We thought it would be more of an event, right? Like, I mean, these are just like these are just patch notes.
Yeah, updates.
And so it's not really an event.
Well, there will be Arc Singe and Arc Bounties.
That's like. That happens all the time.
Yeah, I know.
They're
I
just
know
synergizing those like Arc Singe, and I doubt Arc Singe is going to be available, which I was hoping is like they would just have like arc damage, like, you know, across like Arc Singe across the board, you know, rather than just in strikes.
So you want like an activity or something?
No, not an activity.
Mayhem will be active.
I was assuming that Arc would just be bumped up all week long in all activities rather than just like, here's Arc Singe.
But mayhem.
But also, here's some arc bounties. Because, like, I mean, it's fine.
So it's weird. Now, listening to what you're saying, I'm wondering what more than you wanted that
it's not,
you
it's not,
don't.
It's not that yeah. I'm not sure what I wanted it to be and more about. Like, it's less about an event. It's more of just, like, here's some patch notes.
Yeah.
And it's not really an event.
You were expecting something like the Dawning.
Not so much the Dawning, but, I mean, just, like, something event-based around arc rather than just... We're updating supers.
But you can get Thunderlord again.
That's cool. A lot of people missed out on it, and now it's in the random loop.
Yeah, a lot of people did.
Yeah, there's so much new stuff to explore.
That is good.
No, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head.
They're synergizing, which should be the way. They're synergizing the Arc Bounties with Arc Singe. So, like, when you go into a strike and, like, it's Arc Singe for that week, but, like, some of the bounties are, like, get 25 void kills, and you're like... But it's Singe week. We want to use Singe, or it's Arc Singe. Yeah. We want to use Arc weapons and abilities. But so it's like that's just how it should work, anyways.
I know exactly what you're saying. This is basically patch notes the the event. It's a free event for all. It's free event for all players.
It's a patch notes. Right. It's not really an event. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't.
It's going to be kind of interesting to toy around with the new subclasses, but I am not hype whatsoever for Arc Week. It really didn't do much to move the needle
for
me.
You know, the negatives aside, I'm excited that Tickle Fingers are no longer going to be
right. They're actually
they're going to be really good in PvE now.
Yeah. Well, and so. Are we interpreting this that the subclass tree will have a completely new look then? Is that what you guys are thinking? Or
No, it's just
they're just being modified.
But that's what I mean. Like it will look the same, but just now
probably have some updated text.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, but that's what I mean. Do you think the current menu will be redesigned to reflect those or no? Yeah, they'll just be increases.
Yeah.
To these
so like Stormcaller Super, for example, damage scales up to 150% over 5 seconds continuous use of the attack.
Yeah.
Updated FX and audio to support this functionality. So that'll actually be CJ. So there'll actually be more of an
auditory cue.
That's
cool because it was like Hawkmoon here.
Makes you feel like a strong guy.
Yeah, it does. No,
or lady.
Like you say that jokingly, but when you it does. When you were thinking Hawkmoon year one versus Hawkmoon year two, that confirmation sound, that does make a big deal in your headspace when you're playing.
Chain Lightning Melee can now chain up to 5 times up from 1. And each individual target can be hit twice. Chain damage decreased from 50 to 31 damage per chain
hit.
That's
fair, considering the
per extra chains. But watching those thralls on that cliff was really, really cool to see.
I missed that clip. I wish I missed
it. Yeah. Fair. Arc Web can now chain to many, many more targets. Forth between targets. The amount of chaining varies based on use, and I will leave it to you all to discover. Increased chain range from 10 meters to 12 meters. Chaining arc damage now reduces the cooldown on your grenade, works with arc web chains and chains from Chain Lightning Melee, 3% energy.
A lot of chaining.
Per thing. And PvE. And PvP.
Chain week.
In PvP, you actually get 10% energy per instance of chain damage in PvP. That's actually intriguing.
Yeah. Well, I think in general, Warlock Super, you know, has been pretty weak in comparison to the memories that people have in Destiny 1. So.
Warlock's in a good spot right now, especially with Nova.
That's cool. Yeah, we're just watching a video where, you know.
Showing everybody the arc grenade in action.
Chains.
For all you Warlocks out there, it's actually pretty, pretty cool looking.
I'm
excited to use something other than a Slova bomb right now, because that's the only super I want to use right now.
Yeah.
It's like the only Fire Amkara.
Yeah, it's like the only good PvE Warlock subclass besides
Yeah, for sure. So that is the Warlock subclass. Now, you two hunters sitting to my left and right.
You saw a little animation there, my staff swinging around and emote.
Well, emotes are cool. I think the hunter has the best one.
Hunter definitely has the best one.
Yeah, absolutely.
How much are you willing to pay for it? They're only available via direct purchase, unfortunately, so they can't be earned.
Probably $10.
Yeah.
This is why we probably
that's how much you're willing to pay. How much are you willing to pay?
Zero.
I mean, when did they do that? They did that with Rise of Iron once.
They do it every event.
There's always something you can buy every event.
The only thing I don't like about it, I think the price point's off. I think it's pretty hefty price for an emote and some other stuff
ornament. Mm-hmm.
That thorn ornament is so cool.
And it's locked behind a $12 bundle.
Yeah. A little pricey.
It's something like that.
Yeah. It's
more than 10.
Not a lot of bang
for
your buck because it's a gun. Bang.
That ornament does look good.
It does look good.
It's the coolest ornament in
the thornament, as you people call it.
We've had this conversation. I still have not yet actually purchased anything from the store, and that's cool. I'm not sure what else I've been enticed to. What was the Iron Banner one? That's the only other one I thought was kind of cool.
It was bad.
When he
clangs it down.
I don't think it was infinite, too. Like, you didn't stand there with it the whole time.
Yeah.
Like,
I feel like emotes are the one thing that I feel is not kind of game breaking, where it's not necessarily okay, but I get it. But that's only because, you know what it is? Is I think, bureaucratic emote. It's only because when they introduced them in Destiny 1, that was part of the economy, right? Mm-hmm. You know, so we've never really got emotes ever as a loot drop. I think that's kind of why it feels like it's kind of okay, but
I've never had a problem with cosmetics being behind a paywall. It's just
I don't either.
I've not bought a single thing in the Eververse Destiny history. They even gave me 1,000 silver for one of the packages that they gave us for review, and I just won't spend it. It's like I don't think that reverses.
That's what I'd do. Like, I'm not going to spend $12
that thousand silver on the Thunderlord ornament, and I regret it.
I did it by accident. I was clicking in Prismatic Matrix, and I was like, and I was like, oops.
Don't get me wrong. I've bought my fair share of silver, but like. I'm not going to.
How much did you spend in that other battle royale game, Steven? Do you want to talk about that?
God. In Fortnite, for work, I've probably spent $300.
Wow. Well, that's for work. That's like, hey, we want you to buy the annual pass.
Personally, I think I spent $50
in Fortnite.
In Fortnite, $50.
Well, what about
Apex?
Apex. That's that one. That's what I'm talking about.
Do you have the heirloom?
There's another zero after that.
That's gross.
You did.
Dude.
Yeah. That's gross, man. No. Yeah, he's spent $500 in Apex.
Yeah,
he probably did.
Maybe $400.
Yeah.
Did you get the heirloom? See, that's
I want to buy $500. I want to throw.
Yeah, that's crazy. And so. I'm going to talk about this after. The gameplay in Apex is really good. And because of that psychological, I didn't pay anything for this. You paid more for that in 2 months than you have in Destiny for 3 years.
I want to throw an heirloom knife between my fingers.
Unbelievable. That is crazy.
It's almost like it's almost like when you make a really, really solid game with really compelling cosmetics that converts to sales. It's such a weird concept to imagine.
Well, you say that, but then if you think about the cost of entry, that's the trick. Steve, if you paid like $99 or $100 for that game and then you felt the need to spend another $200 or $300, I guarantee you probably would not have. Well, look at Adam. He might have done
it. No, I have no problem. If I truly enjoy a game and I have know the developers and like I appreciate the hard work they do. I don't mind spending money at all.
I don't pre-order anymore. I don't buy stuff in games as often as possible.
Yeah.
There are a few work scenarios like Mortal Kombat has a crypt when you can pay to unlock the whole crypt. If I need quick access to make a feature, I'll buy that. But for the most part, I don't.
But that sounds weird. Anymore. So you're basically saying that you won't for Bungie games, but
I've spent money on Bungie.
Oh, okay. So how much have you spent on Destiny?
Do you mean just microtransactions?
Yeah, just in general. Destiny 2,
0, but in Destiny 1, quite a bit.
The mask.
But look at that. Destiny 2 has been out for 2 years. Apex has been out for 2 months, and you've spent like $500.
Well, it's the difference in the model, right?
Sorry. 400.
It's a free-to-play model, and I don't think the Eververse is well priced. Yeah. And I don't think it's very enticing to buy anything.
Well, it's also just – go ahead.
Well, I've probably spent $400 on Bungie. Well, including the cost of the game.
Yeah, buying the games on multiple DLCs. Me too. But my thing is, I think the fundamental part of it being a looter shooter competes with what that battle royale genre. Like, it's not about, you know, cosmetics in these other games.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No.
Right? Sure. And so I think that's where the disconnect comes into your mind.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you seem to not have a problem.
Do you guys remember when we were all mad for like 10 minutes about the shaders being at the Eververse?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was a long time ago.
It's a big deal.
Shadergate.
I'm still mad about that I don't have enough slots for all the shaders.
Now, cosmetic now guy. I'm just like, oh, I'm maxed out on shaders again. Great.
At least they had the delete option.
The mass delete. Yeah.
That's all.
Back to what we were actually discussing.
Topic at hand.
Arc Week, Arc Strider, Way of the Warrior, the top path, combination blow, bonus melee damage can now be stacked 3 times, requires a melee ability kill for each stack, buff increases melee damage by 60% in PvE, and 22.7 in PvP.
Hey, I appreciate it.
Why 22.7?
Yeah. Must have been overpowered.
No, I mean, I appreciate that they're giving us specific numbers.
Yeah. They've been doing that for the past month or so.
It's better than damage greatly increased in PvP or like something like that. You know, I appreciate increased.
For comparison, it used to be 1 stack and increased melee damage by 50%.
Yep.
Yeah.
The patch sounds great.
Well, what was it in PvP? Was it also 50% or does that just mean?
No, it
was probably less, right?
I don't know the exact numbers.
Kills with this ability now heal 40 health in addition to starting health regen. That sounds good for you guys. Deadly Reach, increased buff duration from 6 to 8 seconds. Buff is no longer consumed by melee hits.
That's nice.
That's really good.
Yep.
Now your bottom path, Disorienting Blow, increased the disorient distance by 50%.
That's insane to me.
Yeah.
That's insane to me.
That's gonna be usable in many different
areas,
PvP and PvE.
So besides Spectral, that's my main hunter class.
Yeah.
The disorienting Arc Strider one, and the fact that they buffed it, I already thought it was too good.
Exactly.
Disorient now goes up in duration by 0.5 seconds, so 1.5 to 2 seconds. Focused breathing increased dodge recharge bonus while sprinting by 100%.
Yeah, so
you basically get it right back. Increased bonus grenade and melee regeneration while bloodied by 25%. That's meditation.
I don't think they've ever used that term before.
Yeah.
Lightning reflexes, you get more damage resistance while dodging. It's up to 40% in PvP. That's really good because I would die when I dodge all the time. increased damage resistance while dodging from 63% to 70% in PvE.
That's good.
And we already talked about
the useful one.
Yeah.
Steve and I have had this conversation many times about the dodge resistance or invincibility frames, as I would call them.
There aren't any.
And they're not any, but I knew that there is a little bit of resistance going on, so it makes sense.
That sounds pretty interesting to me for the Hunter subclasses. Are you guys?
Oh, yeah.
You're interested in messing around with that, right?
Yeah. I love the Arc Strider class in Destiny 2.
I don't use it much right now just because Void is so strong, Spectral Blades. But
yeah, but man, Arc Strider's awesome.
Yeah.
Finally, the Titan. I thought Arc Week was this week, so I equipped Arc stuff and I was just messing around with Skullfort.
Because all these new changes are great.
No. Steven and I were racing to get the Zer bounty done before the show because, we record at noon, basically on Friday. So we were trying to get it done so that we could have the context of whatever happened in the event.
Yeah.
So I lost. I got messed up on the Cabal thing. Like, I just stopped getting Cabal drops. So anyway, frontal assault on Cabal or on Titans. Frontal assault is being increased a lot. All weapon damage for the duration of the buff is getting 25% against combatants and 20% against players.
That's really good.
And it lasts longer. It lasts 16 seconds now instead of 10 seconds. And the buff timer is displayed on the HUD. A nice touch.
Need more of that.
Wait, so correct me if I'm wrong. All these changes are just for Arc Week, right?
No, these stay.
I guess these are staying.
They're permanent.
They're staying.
These stay.
Yeah. They're permanent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
After the release of Forsaken, the Sandbox team wanted to revisit some older subclass paths and freshen them up a bit.
Yeah.
This entailed tuning for balance as well as quality of life fixes. We've also added new functionality for a couple of subclasses.
That's why I was going back to why I was saying that Arc Week didn't feel like an event and more just like patch notes.
Yeah.
Because they're buffing these.
Patch note week? Or what did you call it?
Yeah,
earlier?
I said something it's like patch week.
It was like patch notes the event or something.
Yeah, patch notes the event. Yeah. I don't remember. And the knockout melee damage bonus increased from 25 to 60%. Now also triggers once you have dealt 60% damage to a target. Any damage done after 60% will refresh the timer. Still also triggers off shield pop, no longer consumed after one melee attack, and it duration 3 to 5 seconds. So for context, knockout, critically wounding an enemy or breaking their shields, increases melee range and damage.
Wow.
And then frontal assault punches, reload your weapon, and increase your weapon stability. So now it also increases your damage, which is really, really cool. That's an exciting change for me as a Titan. I think you start adding Syntheseps into the mix, and it's going to be
Syntheseps, eh?
Yeah, yeah.
Way at one back time, when they were not good.
At one time, I did not like Syntheseps, and then I learned the ways of PvP and changed my tune.
The way of the fist.
Yeah. That's it for Arc Week. Those are the big changes coming. We'll be looking a little bit more. And
dude, those are some crazy changes.
I
initially thought it was only
very happy
for Arc
with the Warlock changes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's nuts. Oh,
yeah, I mean, I think it begs the question. So, when is it Void Week? When is
didn't they say they were tuning a couple of the other supers?
Yeah, they probably will. The other supers are actually being addressed also. So,
yeah.
If I scroll down here on the TWAB, because we just have the laptop up here, the Void Walker Nova Warp Super, they said they swung a little bit too hard, so they're reducing initial charge detonation cost by 20%.
Great change.
Yeah, the reduced energy cost of holding the charge detonation by 7. So basically, they're evening it out. So
yeah, they went a little overboard on the
base super duration from 18 to 22.
Mm-hmm.
Dawn Blading turned off amount of super gained from Everlasting Fire. Initial return increased from 10 to 13%. Return then decay linearly That was a tough word to say. Over the course of 30 kills from 13% to 0.75% return per kill.
Is there a Spectral Blades update there?
You may be asking, what about Spectral Blades? You know, it's out of bounds, and we are working right now on a few tweaks. This is for the TWAB to bring it back in line.
Whatever.
That's why they're
Where's
that's
Sean.
We'll let you know the details once we finally finish playtesting and tuning to lock in on what the changes will be like. Here's what happens with Spectral Blades.
You pop if you're it a warlock, and you win.
If you're a warlock, you hold on to your Nova. If you're a Titan, you're dead.
Oh, yeah. Nova bomb.
And, yeah. And right now, Hunter's out there. Don't you go take a look at Xur this week?
Yeah, we eh? Oh, yeah.
Patience vest.
Xur did have some.
Oh, you really most certainly do. Man, you know what? I think we need to be invisible a little longer. Right, Sean?
I should be able to tank 2 golden gun shots.
I'm glad you got All right,
I should, for so long.
Invisible hammers.
Invisible hammers.
Yeah. Invisible hammers. You know,
I want to fly like the Dawnblade flies.
Yeah. Still, what's weird is the only thing that never gets any kind of buff is Quiver. And again,
Quiver.
The Quiver King needs a little buff to. You weren't here, Brian. It would be nice if it auto tracked with the arrow and
Even
you got one
they
shot
buff
from Quiver.
Quiver, you'd still use Spectral.
Well, potentially not in a situation where you could. You know, have 6 shots and maybe kill a few people and suppress a super. Like right now, Quiver is useless because you can't suppress a super. It doesn't track and you can't hit anybody with one shot.
Kill
so it still doesn't one hit kill.
No, it doesn't one hit kill. Yeah, when you play Destiny 1 again, which I do often, it just feels amazing in Destiny 1. Like, it feels really good. I know it's not just me. I can still
like,
do
no, it. No, Golden Gun alternative.
Yeah. Well, I think they just – think about how many roaming supers are in Destiny 2. I just think they didn't want everybody rolling with Quiver going, hey, fun's over. And that's what happens.
Have you played Mayhem?
Yeah, and that's what happens. When
the fun police out there with their tractor cannons.
Absolutely. Yeah. And here's the thing. I am a hunter, and I enjoy that. But I have a feeling if it worked too good that, yeah, everyone would be just rolling Quiver and shutting down supers the whole time.
You're describing Mayhem.
Yeah, I know.
Just like, all right, I'm going to like label the whole field full of tethers and yeah. run around my track.
Nobody, I know. Yeah. Nobody can have
no
supers.
No supers for anyone. Yeah.
Do you remember in Destiny 1 when there was a tether glitch?
Oh, and you can just do it infinitely?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, over and over. I do also.
You would pop your tether and press start.
Is that what you want, CJ? Yeah.
Maybe.
And then you would have your tether
be bounced.
They take away blades.
Also, that same glitch in Destiny
get
1
infinite
where
tethers.
Exactly. Where you could get infinite hammers.
Yeah, yeah. you jumped on the Sparrow, I think.
It wasn't as like bad as the tether one. Right. And then I remember it was Iron Banner that week, and it was...
Yeah.
I think something like tether hit kills on impact.
Yeah.
Every tether hit kill... increases your super duration.
Oh, you mean for Quiver?
For Quiver to adjust it.
No, see,
I think those are two small changes that would go.
It just needs
way
to be able to kill in one hit.
And yeah. Well, so it needs to be able to kill in one hit. And right now, if you have 6, that seems crazy. Maybe if it was a balance thing,
it's slower.
It's slower, but you said increase. Maybe it decreases. Like maybe if you kill somebody,
No, I think it's fine. I think the super's fine as long as
nobody uses it. Nobody uses Quiver.
As long as you can kill.
Yeah, has the kill on impact.
Yeah. Oh, but it doesn't right now.
So it's ridiculous. No, that's the only change it needs.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
It's the only change it needs.
It needs a little bit of tracking too. A little bit of tracking. Right now, you have to, yeah, exactly. You've seen that clip where I'm playing with you, Press, and somebody else.
That's you.
No, Steven, don't even.
That's you. If it had tracking, why would you use Golden Gun if it one hit every time?
Well, because you're still vulnerable and it's slower. Like when you jump up, you're exposing yourself.
You hear it and you just hide.
Yeah, you just run away.
You just count down in your head.
It just needs to be able to kill on impact. And then I feel like people would use it more.
Yeah.
Speaking of patch notes, seeing that's basically this whole show, Catalysts are coming back. Prospector, Rat King, Hardlight, and Suros. Suros, you get in Crucible, Hardlight, Nightfall, Rat King, and Nightfall, and Prospector, and Nightfall slash Strikes. So that is a good thing. You can get Catalysts for those specific weapons. Where's our...
Oh, talk about the Xur one. I'm excited for that one.
Well, I want to know where the Catalyst is for the auto rifle and Sunshot.
The ones that used to
be tied to faction rallies for like
It was Sunshot, it was Sunshot. Sweet Business, and
Sweet Business. That's the one I was trying to remember.
Those three were tied to faction rallies, and they said they're coming back someday. But
bring them back, baby. It's been too long.
I completely forgot about it.
They should have just threw those in the rotation, and it would have been fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even just getting Catalysts in general.
It's so weird. Like, why are you holding on? Those weapons are Like Sunshot needs a buff.
Sunshot needs something.
Yeah.
Maybe more ammo.
Yeah. Nobody uses Sweet Business anymore.
Yeah.
It was not good for like
G's.
Yeah.
Why would you use that exotic spot for that?
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, it's just an odd decision not to allow us to have those catalysts, or it has to be like a coding hurdle that they have to get over. Warlock Bloom ability fixed an issue where the Bloom ability would not deal damage. There's something about Xur here. I don't know.
What?
Infusion.
Read it.
Xur's inventory will now offer random roll perks for armor.
That's huge.
Yeah, it is.
Infusion fixed an issue where the Vow could not be infused above 650. Fixed an issue where the Braytech Mark II could not be infused above 600. Gambit Prime weapons. Nobody cares. Gambit Prime. Just skip that. Just kidding.
That was
Gambit Prime weapons. Most Gambit Prime weapons have a chance to drop as match completion rewards.
That's good.
Drop rates increased for weapons from the Reckoning.
That's really good.
Both Gambit Prime and the Reckoning will have increased drop rates for weapons after each completion without a drop until players are guaranteed reward. By the way, for Dredgen, I got all my drops. Like as soon as they increased the drops on those the ships and barrels and everything. No, I still need to get invaded super kills.
Yeah.
Which is only 10 now.
They changed that though.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten them. I haven't been playing Gambit very much.
Gotcha.
So, yeah.
Are there any super OP Gambit weapons right now? I mean, within the context of grinding, I'm trying to get Recluse.
Still pretty strong for like Ag Clear.
But like no specific new weapons that drop. Like the are they in the top? Is the hand cannon good?
I forgot what it's called.
From Gambit?
Yeah.
It's fun. It's really fun to use actually.
Yeah, it kind of looks like old fashioned. Kind of.
Yeah.
In a way.
Yeah, I like that one a lot. Gambit Prime notes, an invasion kill will heal 8% of the Primeval's health down from 12%.
It's probably good.
Yeah, those it just turns into a bit of a slog. I'm glad to hear that. The invasion portal cooldown time during the Primeval phase will be increased to 40 seconds. Less invades, more chances.
To kill the third envoy.
Yeah.
Yeah, wait. The invader.
Yeah. This cooldown triggers after a player has been killed or successfully returns from an invasion. That's good. Gambit Prime will now count to unlock the weekly Gambit Clan Engram. Thank you. Quests and bounties, Power Surge bounties that have been deleted or expired are now available at the Drifter. Each bounty can still be completed only once per character. Yes, sir. I'm a closer. Weekly Gambit Prime bounty will now award 4 points for a win and 2 points for a loss with a completion value of 20 points. All four weekly roll bounties for Gambit Prime will now grant powerful helmet rewards.
Nice.
So that's good.
Cool.
Yeah. And then there's just some service notes, and that's about it for the TWAB this week. But, Steven.
Yep.
Xur had his little event this week.
Yeah.
What happened?
So you finish the quest.
Spoilers.
Spoiler warning in
spoiler
5.
Warning.
If
4.
You're not.
3. Find your remote. 2. 1. Go, Steven.
Spoiler warning. You do the whole thing, and then you land on one of those the coins he flips around.
The Gambit guy.
Gambit
the
token.
Chips.
Token.
Yeah, Gambit.
The Drifter one.
You land on a big one.
Like it's weird, though, when you see it.
Like and then you climb up in a circle.
Yeah, and then you
it's like
on a
surreal reality stuff.
And then you get to the emissary, and she's talking to the 9 again. And the 9 are talking about, I think the first thing they say is like, what's he afraid of? Or, yeah, what's he afraid of? And then the emissary says, he's afraid of everything, basically. Basically, the whole gist is the Drifter is super afraid and paranoid of everything, and he actually hates violence, and he hates it so much that he'll murder anyone that he thinks will inflict violence upon him, which is kind of...
Yeah, it's a little bit
it's
odd.
Like he'll,
it's weird.
Oh, man.
Wow.
I'm glad you said it, Brian.
So basically the Drifter will kill anyone that he thinks will start violence, which is very...
America.
CJ the Canadian.
Exactly.
Right
I'm just thinking of a South Park meme.
But I thought that was super interesting because we don't know that he's murdered anyone yet. Like by his own hands.
Pretty sure he probably has.
He's definitely murdered somebody.
Yeah. I think you're living in
denial.
Well,
we got our one
cutscene that we know of. Like,
yeah, but I mean, you think that he hasn't actually like inflicted pain.
But here's the thing. We don't know when that cutscene takes place. Like, it's in the past, I'm assuming. So, like, I don't know. It could be, like, in the present. But it's, like, they're talking about him murdering people that he thinks brings violence upon him. And I wonder if that will have anything to do because for the people who sided with the Vanguard, Yeah. He might think that you're going to incite violence on him, so he'll try to murder you.
Well, it's when you say murder, again, context is important. If it's self-defense, is it murder?
Is this how they explain how you lose all your weapons in Destiny 3?
Yeah, I think a lot of people have been convicted of murder.
But my point is, if somebody said, oh, yeah, you killed somebody, cool, yeah. Why? Well, that person was attacking me with a knife. Oh, well, that kind of changes the situation a little bit.
Oh, all right, it's okay. We'll allow it.
Well, I'm not saying you allow it, but I get...
there's a whole trial.
No, I get they're getting, you know, there's a different... They're setting up potentially to have, it's a choice.
All these things are setting up.
This was, again, what I said with Aldrin, right? Why did we kill Aldrin, you know, or pull the trigger there even? Those two things, too, that I feel like they're constantly setting up these moral conflict things, which if you think about it from one perspective, you'd see it this way. But if you didn't know all the details and you saw it or maybe got a different impression somehow, you'd maybe see it the other way. So that's cool, though.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So basically the whole takeaway of this week was the Drifter hates violence, but he runs Gambit, which is all about violence, and he'll murder anyone that he thinks will bring violence. Interesting guy, that fellow.
Interesting guy. Drifter. Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, that was it.
Sweet.
Short week.
Yeah.
Cool.
I was just saying, it was cool to watch and see. When you first jump out there, you're not sure like where you are.
Yeah, I was looking down. I was like, okay, where's the emissary? And I was like, oh, there's another one.
It's like a chip and then a little token. Yeah. It is pretty cool, just the details. Yeah, it's pretty neat.
Do you guys want to talk about the Anon?
I do.
All right. Okay. Uh-oh. So last week we talked about the PvP thing. And let's just address that really quick. Bungie came out and said there's people upstairs working on PvP. It's fine. Mm. And a lot of people got really riled up about it. Like,
I'm glad that
they need to tell us something about PvP. And I'm like, well,
two of the big heads left of PvP are gone. And it's like people are worried based on rumors and such like that. It's like you gotta instill some like confidence in your community.
Yeah, and for the record, I wasn't on this episode, so you guys want PvP to go away, yes or no?
No.
Okay, I wasn't sure, because at first it's like when I was watching, that is the chain of events that, you know, transpire.
You're the one that keeps saying to separate it.
Well, I think it should be separated from a balance standpoint. But to have PvP go away, absolutely not.
CJ wants PvP to go away.
No,
that should be everybody's takeaway.
No.
Yeah. Some locations are coming back. Old Chicago, Europa, and a return to Venus have been confirmed.
This
is all based on a 4chan post of all places. Somebody they think is Anon the Nine, right?
Yeah. Well, the source also says that there's going to be no big DLC like the first Forsaken or Taken King. It's going to be another annual pass, which is interesting.
I think that's scary. We are so scarce for content right now that we're reading patch notes on the show. What are we going to be like? Hopefully the next one in, when is it, June?
Yeah, June.
Well, but if
it's June, Opulence is in June.
Well, it would be maybe like April, or it would be maybe August, September. But if they talk about
the next thing is June for season of Opulence.
The season of Opulence is June through
the final piece August, of this annual pass.
Right, but that's
June,
my point.
July.
Yeah, but it will carry through till probably September. So we would get something into.
I'm just saying this one. We're done. Like, it's nothing's happening.
Yeah, but so what I'm saying is it sounds like at least, again, this rumor or leak or whatever we're talking about is saying that there would be a little bit of a larger content drop at the beginning, which the annual pass did not do. And that's what we all said. Like, it would be nice. Like, Forsaken was awesome. And
it was.
Yeah, that's really good. If they had
a bar.
Well, absolutely. Yeah.
We all really
enjoy.
Yeah. Should be the standard.
Now, if they had something like that, maybe not as big.
They're not doing anything close to the scale of Forsaken.
Well, according to this rumor.
Based on
this rumor.
Yeah.
So that's not confirmed, right? This is all speculation.
All of this whole segment is going to be based on speculation.
Wild speculation from
4chan.
Things that could not be true.
But I think that if they talked about doing a little something bigger at the beginning to start the annual pass, and then it rolled into it, if that's how it went.
Yeah, like if there was another Forsaken drop, and then December is the start of the next annual pass.
Yes.
Like it did with...
Similar. Or if there was a way that those things married or combined themselves. Because I just don't know what they're supposed to do in a way. I don't know how... Like, if this isn't right, what is the right thing? Like, is Curse of Osiris, Warmind, Forsaken right? Like, I mean, I think we unanimously were saying, well, not Osiris, Warmind.
I think another annual pass is probably the better...
Of the two?
Of the two, yeah.
The reason I think they're doing the annual pass is I think Bungie still needs to get their footing after the separation from Activision.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's why we're getting an annual pass. So I understand why it's happening, but it's not that exciting to me to hear that we're going to be doing another annual pass, because this annual pass largely has been disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot has happened. Black Armory was just basically a grind fest. It had some interesting... Well, actually...
Gambit's the same way, though.
A lot of the stuff was available for most people. So
I think... So hearing you say that, I think there is a lot happening stretched out over the span of a week. But mm-hmm. I will say I've read a lot of the comments, and people are right. If you don't enjoy Gambit, you have no real incentive to do this at all. I think, Brian, you actually agree with that.
I'm not huge into Gambit, so Reckoning... As a game mode itself is kind of fun,
mm-hmm.
but the point of it is to get stuff for Gambit.
Yeah.
That's kind of off-putting.
It is, yeah. It kind of locks you into that one mode, and that's really unfortunate because the armor sets are cool. They did some correct things.
Yeah.
The armor sets are cool. The Reckoning is really fun to do.
Week-to-week events and coming back a little bit for some of the stuff is... Yeah, like it's
Well, that's
content.
Just that's from Forsaken, right?
Well, no. Well, so
the Zer bounties, you mean?
Yeah, I know what you're mm-hmm. saying. When you look at the, and it is a little bit confusing. When you look at the annual pass, and you mm-hmm. are thinking, okay, this is what's been there since Forsaken, and that's what everybody gets that's not paid anything. Versus you need Forsaken. That line is very gray. Like it kind of goes in and out of. You had to look at it.
You done anything from Black Armory since this new season launched?
No. No, that's what I mean. Like I
yes, yeah,
if
you run the forges.
No,
yeah, you do.
Forges, yeah.
Yeah, but a lot of people do. Like people like that forge grind. Like
well,
for the most part, it's
Armory
a direct path
that,
to
like,
acquire weapons.
Is that it actually introduced new weapons that I want to use? As
yes,
core weapons.
Yep.
Yeah,
blast
yeah.
furnace, for example.
Blast
a lot
furnace,
of people want
hammerhead.
That.
Hammerhead. Yeah.
Yeah. Threat level from the raid.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say the biggest disappointment about the second patch is that cool armor is only tied to Gambit.
Yeah.
And I think that was actually a mistake and a critique that I should have actually put in the review that I didn't think of at the time. But it is a negative because at the end of the day, yeah, you look really cool, but why are you wearing that?
Yeah, Reckoning could be a good entry point for Destiny to do something in the future where they introduce gear sets across all their game modes.
Yeah, we said that.
So, I don't know.
I
probably wasn't there when you guys were talking about that. Yeah. But, yeah, like if the Reckoning... was and they had a moat system for different game modes for Crucible or for regular PvE.
Yes.
You just choose whatever mode you want.
Yeah.
Or trials.
This is honestly what I said, the very first episode, and I thought it was gonna introduce trials like when it launched. I don't know if you were there. There'd be various different sets that would potentially have perks for playing strikes or PvE or playing the raid or playing
and they
Crucible
could they
trials.
Could use the same mode. It could still be Reckoning. It doesn't have to be tied to Gambit.
Yeah.
So hopefully they take that feedback and implement that in the future where it's not just based on one game mode.
Yeah.
Yeah. So significantly bigger to kickstart the festivities is what PCInvasion.com said from the leak. They extrapolated that from this leak. And that Penumbra is going to take us back to Leviathan to encounter Kallus once again. I mean, I hope it's enticing enough to make me – Penumbra and the next annual pass is enticing enough – to make me keep coming back, but I'm fairly fatigued by the idea of, all right, we up the power by 50 levels. Go grind that out again by doing old events.
All the stuff you've done already.
Yeah. Remember Forsaken? You're playing it again. I don't know why I'm doing a voice.
I was going to say, why?
I don't know why
they're
I'm
in Texas
it.
Now.
I don't know why I'm doing the old-timer miner
exactly.
voice from SNL.
I mean, the power the power level was always an issue, I think, in general that, again, I mean, that was our conversation last time when we were miscommunicating. I don't really care about the power level. There's nothing that I'm doing right now where that's factoring in a whole lot to playing the game. And I'm grinding out a lot of Crucible things, trying to get Recluse and other weapons. And every time there's a new light level increase, it just feels like some sort of artificial chase that I personally don't really feel the need to do.
To channel the ghost of Sean Finnegan, that usually a boost in level would accompany you being able
new
to
activity.
Put that not an activity, putting that towards bettering your character like in an RPG. I'm not gonna say WoW
Sean would
in a game in a game that it has a lot of RPG features. When you level up, you get like a skill point you get to put somewhere and you get to increase your character in a different avenue.
Mm-hmm.
That's why in Destiny it feels kind of like why am I powering up?
It just
up?
Feels because like an arbitrary number.
Yeah. It's a number. Yeah. It's just a number that's going up. That's not really benefiting you at all. Yeah.
Division does some incredibly smart things with what they do as you progress through the world tiers. Mm-hmm. Basically, spoiler warning again, this whole segment, spoiler warning, but you beat the main campaign and then you get invaded. So you have to like re-clear out areas of the mm-hmm. world because a new enemy faction has entered. So it's a new enemy faction. You have to learn how to combat them. And I started imagining what that would be like in Destiny. What if you never see the Taken until you beat everything that the game has to offer for the first time? Then all the areas get invaded with a new enemy.
That would have been cool. Like during the Taken War, mm-hmm. that if they came in, you know, invaded the solar system and all the old missions that you play. I mean, they kind of did that, and it was really cool.
It was. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think the other thing, too, is you don't feel incentivized to do the activities because you can just grind out power engrams. And mm-hmm. I think they're constantly fighting with the people who are investing maybe a couple hours a day versus somebody who's playing 10. And I did like the way Taken King had potentially like a soft cap on the power level, and then you needed to play raids, or you needed to play Iron Banner, or you needed mm-hmm. to play trials in order to get that power increase, because it felt like it was beneficial to do those things. Without that now, like I would rather a soft cap of 780, or sorry, 680, and then you needing to do, you know, a bunch of different activities. Yeah, in order to get up to 700.
Right,
which
was how it used to be.
It is, mm-hmm. and that's what I mean.
Like, and you got to do the raid to get to that last 10.
Yes.
You need to do the raid.
Hard mode raid, hard mode this.
Or it's on. The other unfortunate part, CJ, is like there was no twist on the raids. There's no twist on the pinnacle activities. They're just the same old pinnacle activities that you've always done.
Yeah.
And it would be great to see them utilize their sandbox a little bit better to incentivize us to keep doing that power grind and experience something sort of like exciting or different. Like what if the Vex were infesting Last Wish? And like you still fight Riven at the end. Like the bosses would still remain core combatants. Like
A
Vex Eye instead.
Yeah, they could do a few interesting things there, maybe. Just to change it up.
Yeah.
Just to offer a few variations.
That's why I'm hoping a lot of the rumors of Destiny 3 having a lot more RPG features.
It's going to be so hardcore. Yeah. People that are casual won't play, and that's what the rumors are saying. I'm like, okay.
If they had more RPG elements to make sure that leveling made more sense.
Yeah.
It'll be a lot more difficult focusing on the hobbyists. And those who could devote a lot of free time to it. It will also have more RPG elements than previous installments.
Let's talk about the juicy part of the leak, though.
What's the juicy part?
The story of Destiny 3.
Oh, with like the light and the darkness?
Tell us.
So
light versus dark? Good versus evil?
No. The whole leak of the story is those triangle shifts that we saw at the end of the base campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Is going to be like a destination like how the Dreaming City is now.
Cool.
Yeah.
Sort of
or
like
Oryx.
Dreadnought. And then there's actually going to be a new race.
Astro Demons.
Is that what it's called?
That's what it says.
They're like that, but they had a different name. They had an actual name.
Yeah, and these are, according to this leak, they're completely
a race
new.
Of Astro Demons whose god was slain during the collapse.
Yeah. Keep going.
The Veil are planning on capturing the Traveler to siphon its light, leading to the revival of their god.
Watch out, Bife.
No,
not likely.
Not pleasant.
So the leak somewhere says these are completely new enemies. They're not like different variants of a current enemy we have. And it seems like to me, because they're like the dark version of Guardians, that they're actually going to be super difficult to kill.
Yeah.
Because right now, if you think about it in Destiny, it's kind of just mindlessly running and shooting dregs and acolytes and knights. Yeah. Like nothing really challenges you.
I'll try a new voice for the Astro Demons.
Why, hello, we're the Astro Demons. Nice to meet you. We're here to take over your planet. If you would mind getting in line and being exterminated, that would be lovely.
That's what I imagine your demon sounds like when he's not doing his presenting
voice. That's his real voice.
That's his real voice.
Yeah.
So we're, I think that's cool. Our god was slain during the collapse, and we're just going to go ahead and collect all your souls and revive him. That sound good, everybody?
Yeah.
What's that traveler thing over there do?
I like the idea of an enemy.
Let's get that light. That'll help a lot.
I like the idea of an enemy that's like super proper about everything, but is just also just trying to murder you.
I've been playing a little bit of Borderlands, so that's kind of where I'm getting that vibe, I think. Yeah.
And then it also says we could be seeing Guardians using darkness and open world PvPvE areas. That would be awesome.
Well, hey, Guardians, I may, you know, you may not be down with this extermination thing, but what if I let you use the power of the darkness, huh? Hey, buddy, try it out.
You just all of a sudden turned into Stewie, Family Guy. I mean,
I've done like three different voices this show. I don't know what's with
me. I don't know where you're going.
Well, I think that was the interesting part about even deciding to choose, you know, Dredgen versus Vanguard. I think they're kind of setting us up in a way, experimenting.
Yeah.
And again, I went Dredgen because his character, exactly, but
I am too.
There you go. We're the same. We're the same. But I really felt like there was some kind of story that was leading me to believe that there was something a little bit seedy with the Vanguard. And I've never felt that way until presented with this option to choose. So, it's weird. I think if they lean in that direction, I feel like even with the Drifter and saying he's not murdering anybody, he doesn't like violence, there's all these moral conflict choices that they're leaning into. I think that this might be another one of those things.
I would love to see something like the Dark Zone in Destiny. Like, the further you progress into the world, the harder it gets, but the better loot there is, and then you can fight other Guardians. Man, that sounds awesome.
Not at the expense of PvP.
No. Yeah, in addition.
PvP.
Yeah, but if something like that existed, man, I'd play
That'd be great.
Crap out of that.
Yeah.
Because, like, I remember when in Destiny 1, when I was just patrolling the Cosmodrome for fun, like harvesting materials and stuff, and you see other Guardians, I'd always think to myself, like, man, I wish I could just snipe this guy in the head.
How many times did you shoot him or melee them? The moon was still my favorite planet, I think.
The moon was your favorite planet?
I think so.
Cosmodrome for me.
I mean, I like the Cosmodrome, but the moon was so good. The aesthetic of it felt so tonally scary and visceral. I don't feel like that in Destiny 2 anymore. I feel like everything is warm and inviting.
Staring into the Hellmouth.
Yeah, and the moon was terrifying.
The moon was great.
It was really good. The moon was
great, but I think my first experiences and memories of Destiny World, the Cosmodrome.
Skywatch, Cosmodrome. Well, it's also
because it's like the first Loot place cave. You go is when you go to the Alpha.
Yeah.
You got Cosmodrome, and then
something
there's that.
About that.
That one time.
Something about the Cosmodrome.
The crashed airplanes were really neat. Yeah. It had a lot of environmental storytelling.
Yeah.
It also gave you a
sense of wonder because, like, it's the first place they drop you after, like, you know, centuries, and it's just like.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Cosmodrome is actually the only place, because I remember before Destiny came out, the whole narrative was we are like the last survivors of a collapse and we're traveling through the ruins of our old civilization.
Yeah.
And the Cosmodrome is the only place that actually gives me that feeling.
Yeah. Yep.
But the PvP had was it Last Light? That PvP map?
The moon? The big moon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember, like, when you
could, I know what
you,
you're
when
talking
you
could
use sparrows.
Yeah.
And, like,
I remember
tanks.
PvP.
Yeah. I remember.
And I destroyed so, like, during the alpha.
If the rumors that there is some sort of PvPvE mode coming to Destiny 3. Alongside normal PvP, it'd be great if they brought that back.
Yeah,
well, where you can have this, you can bring your sparrows and other vehicles, but also engage in PvP combat.
And so it's weird to hear you say that. I think when everybody talks about Destiny 2, they're like, "Oh, we had this, and you kind of took it away. We had this, you took it away." They did decide to focus on smaller map and like player count. Well, it was initially 4v4 only, which
I
don't see
what
kind
the
of
problem
weird.
Is with having both.
Well, that's a thing, right?
I get a hard time when I never liked that map.
To be honest, though,
I get a hard time when I say I like old things, so I hate that idea, Brian.
That's fine.
Terrible idea. And don't bring back the old Iron Banner armors that I want.
Oh, I see where you're going with this.
Yeah.
But
I'm
no,
heavily being sarcastic.
No, but that
Hawkmoon and Dark Drinker.
No. That's
I'm
it.
Angry.
That's
only
it.
New stuff from here on out.
We're talking about a game mode, though, or a game style. And Steven, you said you didn't like it. I think that's largely the reason why they focused on 4v4 type of smaller maps.
I didn't like the big maps.
He didn't like big maps.
I love sniping
right?
on big maps.
Yeah.
I didn't like the big maps.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. I think they focused on a lot of people who played PvP like Steven, and most of those PvP players were not really engaged in big maps. Yeah. So when they look at the population, but it's one of those things where when you can't have it, you want it. So just have it be an option and then still do 4v4.
Yeah. I think they should take literally everything away, start from scratch, and then slowly reintroduce old stuff because that went over super well with the community.
Right.
Sarcasm out. I think that's all we have time for on this episode. But thank you guys for joining me. CJ, it's good to have you back.
Thanks,
man. How was your break with your family?
Good. It was nice, actually. Yeah. So mom's in town. I got a chance to hang out with her.
I took her to the DMV.
I went to the DMV. You can check the Twitter feed. But then I may or may not be here next Friday because my dad's coming in town. Mm-hmm. So then I got one more family member coming.
You're going to take him to the courthouse?
I'm going to see. He's an ex-police officer, so he might want to go there. The quintessential California experience, right. DMV and, yeah, cool. Breaking the law.
Well, Brian will still be here not talking the whole episode.
Hey, he did good.
You did great. You did great this episode.
We're reading the feedback, Brian. Yeah.
Last week was
weird. You guys talk about a lot of PvP. I'm not a PvP guy, so when you guys talk about hardcore PvP stuff, I'm just like.
Last week was weird because we were experimenting with the camera setup, which might be adapted by a lot of the other shows.
It looks good.
You started a trend, Destiny.
There you go.
Happy CJ birthday. Did the wall.
Did the lighting.
I got people interested in doing video again.
That's right.
In the closet.
Yep.
Or whatever you want to call this room.
This place.
The closet.
Yeah. It's compromise.
Yeah.
It's compromise.
Closet. This is a solo streams room because the thing that people can't see is this giant computer setup over here.
Yeah.
We used to stream out of here. Play video games on.
Yeah. You can still do that.
Angle,
still,
yeah.
It's a versatile room.
That's right.
I'm happy to adapt.
It's also very hot.
Yeah. I'm just going to keep
no AC. Yeah, this is done. No.
For real, though, that's everything we had for this week. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And until next time,
Guardians out.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for Dungeon Masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Get inspired while learning all about the unique planes of existence. Get the in-depth knowledge you need to help your combat encounters feel impactful, or learn about the origins and pantheons of every race and class the game offers. No stone is left unturned as every edition of the game is explored and explained in a way that benefits players of all different levels of experience. You can expand your TTRPG horizons in a way that's as entertaining as it is educational just by listening. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app or YouTube and search for The Dungeon Cast.